If you have your Bibles and would like to follow along as I read this morning, I'm going to read two passages, one from the New Testament and one from the Old. From the New Testament, James chapter 5, and from the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 16. We're going to begin 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 29, James 5 at verse 17. Since we are going to be together for two Sundays in a row, I thought I would share with you a message that, well, I could complete it in two parts, in one part, and I've done that. And I remember one time that I preached this whole sermon all at once to a congregation in one setting. It was an hour and 15 minutes. Cub Scouts honor, true story. And I promised I would never do that again to people. I was just so into the Word and into the Spirit of God that all at once I looked at my watch. Back before I retired, I wore one. And I realized I had been preaching for 45 minutes. And I said, "Folks, I'm sorry, I have abused you. I've gotten through maybe a third of what I wanted to say. Let's stand and be dismissed." And these folks had no better sense than say, "No, brother, preach on." So I did it for another 30 minutes, and I bet they never said that again. So what we're going to do this morning is break this down into two parts as we talk about God's man, Elijah. First of all, from James chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now, if you will, turn back to 1 Kings chapter 16, and let's pick up the beginning of this story and see what James is telling us about. Chapter 16 of 1 Kings, beginning at verse 29. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab, the son of Omri, became king over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. Now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took as his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians. And he went and served Baal and worshipped him. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. They have made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. In his days, Eliel of Bethel built Jericho. He laid its foundation with Abram, his firstborn, and his youngest son, Segub. He set up its gates according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through Joshua, the son of Nun. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. James tells us Elijah was a person just like we are. And when he prayed that it would not rain, it didn't rain. And when he prayed again, God sent rain. And you read and you heard the story that is the background to that. How that Ahab thought nothing of transgressing. It was no big deal to him. We might translate it. To disobey God. To serve false gods. And to commit more evil and to do more to provoke the Lord God Almighty than all of the kings of Israel put together. And it is into that setting that Elijah walks. And he goes to the king and he says, Ahab, it's not going to rain because I've asked God that it not rain. And I can see the prophet as he walks in before the king and makes the announcement and turns and walks out. The Bible doesn't say that Ahab made any response at that moment. He will later on. But Ahab stands there befuddled. There's clouds in the sky. It's dark. Anybody can tell it's about to rain. And Elijah turns and walks out. And the Bible says that for the next 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain. Now, what I want to talk to you about this morning is how can we be successful like Elijah was? What can we do? What do we need to do? What must we do as believers in Jesus Christ to have an impact on the people around about us? We may never go before a king or any other ruler of high stature. But what about family members? What about neighbors? What about people we meet on the street, pass in the store? How can our lives be such? How can our spiritual relationship with God be such that we can have an impact like Elijah did? You say, oh David, we're so few. How can we have an impact? Elijah was one. And I encourage you to read chapter 17 and 18 this coming week as I'll be preaching from that next Sunday. And see what this one man does. Now, why? First of all, he was convinced of the reality of God. He was convinced that God was real, that God lives, that God rules, that God reigns. There's a German expression, Gott ist lost, which means God is dead. And that was written up in 1882 by a philosopher named Nietzsche, who said that the Enlightenment, that age of man where we got into philosophy and science and knowledge and those good things became all things, And he said, that has eliminated the possibility of the existence of God. Gott ist tot means God is dead. And in 1966, Time magazine, the only time in its history, it did not have a picture on the front of the cover, in bold black and red, asked the question, is God dead? And the question was raised by a seminary teacher who said, God is dead. A seminary professor more than 50 years ago said, God is dead. Elijah says to the king, as the Lord God lives before whom I stand. He was convinced of the reality of God. Convinced there is a God who is over all. Whose power is unlimited. Whose love is unlimited. Whose reach to humanity is unlimited. And yet today in the 21st century, we have churches, whole denominations, who are turning away from the Word of God. And saying the Word of God doesn't matter. The Word of God doesn't mean what it said. It was old. We don't need to pay any attention to it. Or we can pay attention to this part and we can throw out this part. Elijah said, as the Lord God Almighty lives. He was convinced of the reality of God. My brothers, my sisters, if we're going to have the success of Elijah, if we're going to have an impact on people we come in touch with, we need, number one, to understand and to know God is alive, God is real, God reigns, God rules. Secondly, he knew he was a representative of God. He knew that he was a representative of God. He said, as the Lord God lives, before whom I stand. In the contemporary English Bible, it says, the one I serve. I'm his representative. I'm his man. He's called me. He saved me. He's anointed me. He's empowered me. I'm his man. I'm his woman. I serve the living God. I'm a representative of him. And it's in his name and in his behalf that I speak. And then thirdly, Elijah knew the resources that were available to him. He knew the resources that were available to him. He knew the power of prayer. There shall not be rain for 3 years and 6 months except as I pray. I went to a meeting one time of a social club. I don't remember whether it was Lions or Kiwanis or what it was. I don't remember. I was invited by a member of the church where we were, and they said, Reverend, will you say a little prayer before we start the meeting? And I said, no. And the man who asked me was flabbergasted. His eyes were wide, his mouth was open. I said, there's no such thing as a little prayer. If you want me to pray and talk to the Lord God Almighty and ask His intercession on what we're doing, I'll be glad to pray. But there's no such thing as a little prayer. And oh, how many times have we said, well, there's nothing I can do but pray. Oh, my friends, that's the best thing we can do. That's the most powerful thing we have, is to talk to Almighty God, invited by Him into His presence, and speak with Him. A couple of books over in the Old Testament, Job said, I want to talk to God face to face. We can't see His face, but our spirit, our thoughts, our minds, we go into the throne room of grace and we can talk to God. The power of prayer. There's going to be no rain unless I say so. I heard a preacher one time ask a congregation, if you stopped praying, would it radically change your life? And he said, if the answer is no, why do you bother to pray at all? Elijah, first of all, says, my resources are these. Number one, I know the power of prayer. I've talked to God, and it's not going to rain. Number two was the Word of God. As the Lord God lives before whom I stand, there shall not be rain these years except according to my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, verse 2, saying, get away from here and turn east. God spoke to Elijah. Now, I've heard the still small voice. I felt that divine intervention in my heart. Never heard His voice like Elijah did. But I hold in my hand the Word of God that speaks. We have His Word, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. And we have the whole counsel of God. I've often thought in my spirit, what would it be like if I could hear the voice of God? If God would say, David, yes, Lord. Speak for your servant hears. Like Samuel did of old. But you know, after a little bit, I would tend to forget what was said. The sound of His voice, the pitch, the timbre, the tone, I'd begin to forget. And after a while, I would say, well, God spoke to me one day. But I've lost so much of it in the passage of time. But having this book, we have the whole counsel of God. That at any time, we can turn to. And we have the Word of God. We have what He says to His people for this day. After reading the Scripture before preaching, I say this is the Word of God for the people of God. And you respond, thanks be to God. That's not idle words. That's a declaration of our strength as believers in Jesus Christ. And the third thing that Elijah had that made him successful was his confidence. I know God lives. I know I'm His servant. No debate, no doubt, no questioning. It's hard to do sometimes, but Elijah said, I know. He had that confidence. He had that certainty. He had that assurance that God lived, that he had God's word, that he was God's servant. God called me to minister His word when I was 13. It was Father's Day, June 21st, 1959. My dad had been asked to take part in the Father's Day service at the church back home. The men's brotherhood was doing the service that morning. And Dad always said yes when he was asked to take part. And then he always regretted it because his knees would bang together and he'd get really nervous. And this particular morning, he was nervous beyond nervous. And he asked me, I have this poem they've asked me to read. Will you read it in my place? And man, I couldn't have been prouder. I couldn't have been more enthusiastic. My dad asked me to speak up, to say in his behalf. And so I stood in the pulpit that morning, and I read the words of a poem, Father's Day poem. Said, if I had a boy, I would say to him, son, be fair and be square in the race you must run. And while I was reading the words to that song, to that poem, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. And that still small voice, that impression from heaven, came into my spirit, and it was as though one of you had spoken to me and said, just as you are standing here this morning speaking on behalf of your Father, I want you to speak on behalf of your Heavenly Father. And I've never doubted that call. We've served God, Bonnie and I, in a lot of places, in a lot of different ways. There were two periods in our ministry when we were in the pulpit in full-time service. There was a period in between where we did other kinds of ministry. But I've never doubted that call. I have that confidence. And Elijah had that confidence. And as believers in Jesus Christ, so can you, so can we. Now, there's the setup. There's his reason for success. Now let's look at what Elijah does and what God does for Elijah. You still have the place out. Look at verse 3 of chapter 17, 1 Kings. God speaks to Elijah and he says, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it happened, I missed my place. The ravens, and it will be, I lost my place. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Now here is Elijah at the peak, you might say, of his ministry. He's walked into the throne room. He's preached to the king. And you think when you're in a spot like that, God will let you stay and hang out for a while and do great things. God moved him from the throne room of King Ahab out someplace to a little brook called Cherith that flowed into the Jordan River. And he said, I'm going to take care of you there. The ravens will bring you food. Now, folks, it takes incredible trust and confidence in God to step out in faith when God directs in such a dramatic fashion, and you're not sure what's going to happen, but you know it's God. The ravens, he said, are going to take care of you there. God asked Job in chapter 38 of that book, who provides food for the ravens? And the answer, of course, is God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, the birds of the air are fed by your heavenly Father. So here God is telling Elijah, I'm going to take care of you by one of the most unremarkable creatures, a raven. Ravens don't eat fresh food. They eat dead stuff. that's decaying and rotten. And I wonder if Elijah scratched his head and said, wait a minute. The ravens are going to feed me? I don't want what the ravens eat. They eat roadkill. They eat dead stuff. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. God did something in the hearts of the ravens that was totally against their nature, so He could use them for His glory. Folks, if He can use a raven, we might call it a crow. If He can use a raven, He can use me. If He can use a raven, He can use you. And Elijah didn't argue. Excuse me, here I am before Ahab, and you want me to go out to a brook someplace? Not a word of question. Not a word of argument. Not a word of discussion. He went. And Samuel told King Saul, after Saul had disobeyed God, Saul was told, after you take this city and these people, everything belongs to God. And Samuel comes up and he says, what's that noise I hear? Sounds like the bleating of sheep. Those were dedicated to God. He said, oh, I kept a few of the best ones out so we could make a sacrifice. And Samuel said, that's not what you were told to do. And in verse 22 of chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, he said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, it is better to listen than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. Elijah listened. And I'm going to wrap it up here. And then God tested him. Verse 7. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Okay, you have prayed and you've said, God, stop up the heavens and let there be no rain for 42 months, 3.5 years. And you're out by a little brook that's a feeder stream for the Jordan River. And the brook dries up. Would you think it a strange thing? You prayed, didn't you? That there would be no rain. And if there's no rain, there's nothing to feed that brook. And so how's the brook going to bring any water to you? God, I'm sure I'm where I'm supposed to be, but the brook is dried up. You told me to come here and the brook's dried up. Well, Elijah, you prayed. God taught me that lesson one time. We had the privilege of ministering in Russia. Bonnie taught school so that I could go to Russia. And I made 14 trips and lived there for 2 years ministering. And one morning in church, a lady came up and said, and this is through an interpreter, David, I want you to pray for my cows. I have 3 cows. They're sick. If they don't get better, I'm going to have to slaughter them and sell them. It's not the right time, and I'm going to lose a lot of money. Would you pray for my cows? And I said, pray for cows. I'm thinking this in my heart, in my mind. Pray for cows? How utterly ridiculous. But I prayed. Not with much faith. And the next Sunday morning, the lady came to church again, and after church was over, I went up to her and I said, how are your cows? And she said, they're fine. You prayed for them. And I said, oh Lord, help thou my unbelief. Elijah prayed there would be no rain. And the logical end of that prayer was a dried up brook. Don't be surprised, my brothers, my sisters, when you pray and God answers. Because you had faith and confidence in Him to call on Him. Rejoice when He answers. Now all of this I've said to you in the last 25 minutes is yours as a believer in Jesus Christ. Take possession of it. Live in the strength of it. And when we meet together next Sunday, I'm going to take you into part two and show you Elijah getting new instructions and seeing what a man of God, a woman of God can do as they trust in the Lord God Almighty.